In a mass yesterday, Joseph Ratzinger was formally installed as the 265th pontiff of the Catholic Church. The new Pope Benedict XVI has struck a conciliatory tone in his first days of leading the Church. He also spoke of what he believes is the major evil facing the Church, the drift into secularism, or as he puts it, relativism. As NPR religion correspondent Barbara Bradley Haggerty reports, that message is dividing Catholics and many Americans.
To get a sense of how a leader will approach the world, says political scientist John Green, it's useful to listen to his early speeches. Consider the message of John Paul II and Benedict XVI. John Paul was elected in 1978 during the Cold War and saw communism as the chief enemy of Catholics and of human freedom.
Pope Benedict has identified a different kind of enemy. He talked in his initial homily about the dictatorship of relativism, how the challenge to universal and transcendent values was a very common part of the modern world and a very frightening prospect for people of faith.
Green, who teaches religion and politics at the University of Akron, says that enemy is not bounded by geography or even ideology, but a spiritual laxity that strays from moral absolutes. And, he says, Benedict's message was aimed at the West.
The very important intellectual debate in Europe and the United States is about the role of transcendent values in public life, whether there are values that are eternal and enduring, what the role is of religious pluralism, different ways to God, different ways to truth. And this pope seems to believe that there is an answer to those questions, and it is to stick with the traditional beliefs of the Church.
Which has some cheering and some groaning in despair. John O'Donohue is one of the latter. O'Donohue left the priesthood in Ireland 5 years ago and now writes books on philosophical theology. He believes the Church may have missed an opportunity by selecting as pope one who believes that truth is a fixed and unmovable point. Donohue says what the world hungers for now is not moral certainty, but spiritual belonging, a sense of the transcendent love of God.
And I would have wished when this new pope came out that his first statement would have been, I am pontiff now in a broken, complex, and confused world. And I want to try and alert this world to the hidden sources of the divine within it.
Moreover, he says, one person's relativism is another person's compassion. And there are times for church teaching to bend to the needs of the moment.
I think one glaring example is condoms and AIDS. I mean, I think even in the old Catholic teaching of the act of two effects, you always choose the lesser of two evils in a way. And the lesser of two evils in this case is the survival of people.
Others worry about the political implications of the new pope's words and beliefs. Alan Wolfe, who teaches religion and sociology at Boston College and describes himself as secular, says it's not that the Catholic Church should not engage in politics. The Church has always believed in the close relationship between faith and politics. But this pope has called homosexuality an intrinsic moral evil. He's come out against cloning and women as priests and even opposed Turkey's entrance into the European Union because it's not a Christian state. And then, Wolfe says, there was Benedict's speech.
The language, the dictatorship of relativism, it will be interpreted in the United States. In fact, it already has been interpreted in the United States as a clear signal that the new pope has decided to take sides in the American culture war, and that his side is the side of those people who in the United States are politically conservative and who attack judges and who think that Terry Schiavo, you know, should have been kept alive endlessly and so on.
Wolfe notes, for example, that Pope Benedict, in his former job, wrote a letter to American bishops last August, agreeing that Catholic politicians who support abortion rights should not receive communion. The letter did not cite presidential hopeful John Kerry by name, but the controversy dogged Kerry and energized his conservative critics. Luis Lugo, who directs the Pew Center on Religion and Public Life, says the new pope, intentionally or not, will touch a nerve in the American culture wars. That's because there's a new alignment in U.S. politics and, indeed, society.
Political fault lines in this country no longer run along denominations as between, let's say, Protestants and Catholics. They run across them. Traditionalist Catholics have a lot more in common with evangelicals than they do with fellow religionists, other Roman Catholics, whose viewpoint we classify more as modernist.
And not just Protestants, but Orthodox Jews and Mormons as well, he says. One thing they have in common is how they view truth. If the Bible is infallible, religious conservatives say, then the answers to many social questions are easy. No abortion, no euthanasia, no gay marriage, no cloning. This new coalition proved a potent force in the 2004 election, which explains the reaction of Jerry Johnston, the evangelical pastor of First Family Church in Kansas City, to Benedict's election.
I was absolutely thrilled. I believe this is going to be very instrumental in the 2008 presidential election. I just hope God gives him many years.
Johnston says he got a taste of the political heft of a Catholic evangelical coalition last year when the conservatives worked together to push through a state marriage amendment in November. He believes that with fights over gay marriage and judges and abortion in the offing, this coalition will get considerable exercise in coming years and in the next presidential election.
I believe that we're in for a challenge in 2008. And I think the Pope on down is going to reinforce those moral values that were enunciated in the November 2 vote. This is a huge victory for those of us that want to keep moving the country to the right.
Johnston believes that American voters are fed up with the culture, and they're streaming back to churches that present a biblically conservative view of society and of truth.
Catholic dogma, just like evangelical dogma, should have no concessions to it. I mean, a doctrine is not a doctrine if you don't enforce it. And to those in the politically correct movement who think that absolutes are changing, they don't understand that.
Robert George, who teaches law and politics at Princeton University, says the Pope's main concern is not politics or even social issues. The Pope's major worry is spiritual slavery, he says. The slavery of the human heart in which one's own desire, and not God, is the guiding star. George says that can translate into conservative or liberal views, something liberals should not forget.
No liberal would want to give up the claims to justice, to moral truth, that have been the glory of the liberal tradition. Certainly no liberal would want to condemn those who argued and fought against and who, in some cases, gave their lives to overcome the evil of racism, segregation, slavery. These great moral causes were fought in the name of truth.
One truth is already evident. In less than a week, Pope Benedict has sparked a profound debate over whether right and wrong can be defined and whether truth comes in shades of gray. Barbara Bradley Haggerty, NPR News.